In Luke's Gospel this evening, if you'd turn with us, chapter number 4, I'm going to lay a little bit of groundwork and go into some new area tonight I didn't cover this morning, but Luke 4, and we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, and I'm going to read verse number 16 through 19. Luke 4, 16 through 19. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, we all have customs. I've noticed different places that I go to preach, their customs are different. So, he said, as their custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up for one reason, for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is what it said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He not only has anointed me, Jesus said, but He hath now hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. You may be seated tonight. You know, when he closed that book and sat down and gave to the minister, if I'd have been there, I'd think I'd said, Lord, please don't stop now. Tell me more. But you see, since Jesus has told us about His anointing and His sending, He has written this book and He's handed it off to others. So I wonder tonight what me and you will do with this book. Now, this morning, my heart's gear is still in these five thoughts that the Lord said, why He's here to minister. Why do you think Jesus came here? We know Jesus came to die and pay the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and mine, because there's nothing we could pay good enough. Only God could come up with the payment, and He chose His Son. Isn't that amazing? That His Son would die on a cross and pay the price for me and you, that we may know God tonight. Now, as He opens this book and He tells us that He's anointed and simply that He's sent to do these five things. Now, this morning we looked, first of all, He said, preach the gospel to the poor. I sure am glad you don't have to have anything to be saved. You know, the Bible tells us that He was rich, but for your sakes He became poor. I think we belittle that a lot of times, of what God done for us. And so I talked about that first point, where to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus can relate. I'm glad Jesus can relate to where me and you live tonight. And then he said, secondly, he said, not only have you sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, but he said he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, as a young preacher, I could not imagine of the times my heart would be broken in life, in ministry, broken about myself. And we talked this morning that not only here as he preached the gospel to the poor, Jesus relates, but I sure am glad that he said he would heal the brokenhearted. Jesus revives. There's been things that I've walked through in life and ministry that I thought I would never, ever get through. But I want to say something. Jesus is faithful. People passing in my life, it's been hard. Many of you have seen people pass, and it's been so devastating. I don't belittle that tonight. As I said this morning, nobody knows where we are individually but the Lord. But I've noticed this, God does heal the brokenhearted. And so, the third point, what I'd like to start in preaching tonight, not only did he say that he would preach the gospel to the poor, he can relate. And not only does he heal the brokenhearted, he revives. But let's look at his third statement. He said, I come to preach deliverance to the captives. I want to say Jesus restores. Let's look in Mark 5 at a Bible character. We'll be back to that text and won't be preaching long tonight. But Mark 5, let's notice this man that Jesus recovers out of his condition. Now, many of you know him by the maniac of Gadara. We got a lot of maniacs in Bowden tonight. Somebody say amen. Just not Gadara, man. Burwell, Mount Zion, Bremen, Villarica, Kemp, you name it. There's folks everywhere that need Jesus. So it said they came over the other side of the sea into the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters were broken in pieces. And watch your Bible. Neither could any man tame him. Always night and day. I mean, every night and day. He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stone. You know what he was doing? He was destroying himself. There's a lot of people when they're left to themselves, they simply destroy themselves. I'm glad God won't lead me along because I destroy myself. I'm glad the God that lives in me tonight, He's so concerned about me, He lets me keep from self-destruction. You know, a lot of times we sin and we do things and we know it's not right with God, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell tonight. And so we see this man, he was set on a course of self-destruction. Many of you, you've heard of my past, and I don't go into the details because of embarrassment, because of gloating with the devil, because of the children. But I want to say this, long story short tonight. I got around the wrong crowd. I was highly influenced by the wrong people. Mom and daddies, be careful where your children hang out at it. And be careful who they associate with, because they'll not change who they're running with. They'll change them. And so, I was simply on a road of self-destruction. I was raised right. I knew what to do. I don't know this man's background. I don't know how much Bible he had heard. I don't know how much law that he had entertained, but I know this, that he's an older man now and he's on a road of self-destruction. That, ma'am, sir, that's where you'll be tonight without Christ. On a road to self-destruction. He was in the tombs. He was crying out night and day. And if you lived in this neighborhood, you could hear this man crying and cutting and being in torment. As little children might have walked home from school or from church, they could hear Legion crying from the mountaintops. Said, man, that man's crazy. He's out of his mind. You say, what was wrong with him, preacher? He's full of the devil. You say, how do you know he was full of the devil? Well, look what the Bible says. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, or make an oath by God, that thou torment me not. He said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that he may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered in the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. There were about 2,000, they were choked in the sea. And that's amazing, the devils that lived in Legion went into 2,000 hogs. That's a lot of devil. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. They just lost a lot of hogs in this business. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion, watch your Bible, setting, clothed, and his right mind. And they was afraid. Something happened to this man. What's happened to you? I want to tell you one glorious day, I'm glad Jesus came and he restored me on the road that I was on. I'm glad Jesus is bigger than the devil. And so we find here that he's clothed and in his right mind. Now that reminds me, there's a lot of people filled with the devil, half naked. Somebody say amen. I mean, if you want to see somebody filled with the devil, you look, they got their clothes off. Shake your little Baptist head up and down tonight. It don't take you long. Honey, you'll see where the devil's living. And so, Jesus was concerned about this man. And so he comes to him and he says something to them devils. He gives them leave. I'm glad God's over the devils. And so we find him now, he's clothed and in his right mind, and they was afraid. And I want you to look what Jesus tells this man. Verse 16, they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They wasn't worried about the sinner, they was worried about their swine. And that's the mentality of our country. See, when it costs men revenue and money, then they'll put you out. They're for Jesus as long as he don't disrupt what they're doing. And so that's like a lot of churches. They'll play ball with you till it begins to cost them something. That's like a lot of Christians. They love Jesus till it starts to cost them something. And so here they begin to pray to depart him out of their coast. And when he's come to the ship, watch, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. In other words, when Jesus saved this old boy, he wanted to be with Jesus. You know, that's one of the greatest indications, once you get saved, that you want to be with Jesus and with the people that Jesus associates with. Now, Jesus suffered him not. In other words, he says, no, you can't stay. Why would Jesus say that? But he said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and watch your Bible, and hath had compassion on thee. You see, our faith ought to show up where we live. Our change ought to show up where we go to bed at night. Because Jesus is in the chain-breaking business. There's a song out, he's a chain-breaker. He's the way-maker. Well, sure he is. Ask Legion when we get to heaven. He said, oh my, I've never met nobody like Jesus that changed everything that I was about. Why, he took and he cast the devil out of me and he put some clothes on me and I wanted to hang around where he was. He's amazing. He can recover those in bondage tonight. And don't think you can't get as far as Legion went. Because without the boundaries of the Holy Ghost, we could all be there in just a moment of a time. Jesus had compassion. What's up with us when we see the gutter crowd? What's up with us? Why do we say, well, you're getting just what you deserve? We ought to thank God without the building we ain't got what we deserve. God's been good to you. So he said, I want y'all to know I've not only come to preach the gospel to the poor, I've not only come to heal the brokenhearted, but he said, I want you to know that I've come simply to preach deliverance to the captives. There's hope through Christ tonight. And I want to say this, there may be sin that has you held in bondage. I've never liked nothing in charge with me, with addictions or habits. I hate those things in my life because I'm a very addictive and obsessive person. I'm either water on or water off. I waste a lot of water. I ain't going to sit there and just let my coffee cup barely fill. I'm going to plunge it till it runs out and I'm going to pull it out. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do. And with that kind of nature in me, I have to be careful. Because see, I've noticed this. When we as a Christian or any other person, when you start to play with sin, it won't be long. You remember your preacher always said this, sin will be playing you. And so Jesus said that He came. Aren't you glad that He came? He said, I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted, and I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. Now, I want to say something right there before I leave on preaching deliverance to the captives. You have a choice to make. We're not robots. God will let you do things you'll be ashamed of. But if you're saved, you'll be ashamed you've done it. And so here tonight, Jesus relates, Jesus revives, and Jesus restores. It's amazing what Jesus could do with the legions of our day if they would just trust Jesus. Could you imagine? I don't know if he was married. I doubt if he kept a wife like that. You know, a man lived like that, I doubt he's probably pretty much by himself. But maybe the places that he'd go, whatever he needed, people knew there was a change happened in him. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the waymaker tonight. And I sure am glad that God sent him to preach to deliver the captives. Fourthly, he said in another phrase of the fourth statement, He said not only to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, but He said in the recovering of the sight to the blind. Not only can Jesus relate, not only can Jesus revive, not only can Jesus restore, but Jesus can recover. You may think it's way too far gone, but it's not for Jesus. Some of you don't know this about your preacher. My wife's not here tonight. She's not going to listen to the tape because she's heard a lot of preaching. She misses church. She don't get the sermon. She's heard a long time. But I want to say this tonight. What many of you don't know, a few years ago, I was at one of the lowest points in the ministry. Brother Darrell, the devil told me I'd never make it out the bed of affliction. I'll be honest with you, the devil had me convinced I was done preaching. I was done with life. I mean, I'm sitting there, I can't move. The devil says, it's done. But not only has Jesus helped me to recover my body, He's helped me to recover my mind. I'm a young man yet. I got a lot of preaching left in me. I know some of you hate that, but I'm going for the 50-year mark. He recovers. You see, only Jesus can do that of what Jesus can do. He said, I come to recover the sight of the blind. I'm sure glad He's opened my eyes to some things. Has He opened your eyes to some things? The older I get, seems like the more my eyes get open. I declare a man just starts getting some sense about 50, 55. Shake your little baby's head up and down tonight. It's amazing the things where light has come on that God has given me sight that I never seen before. And you may be in a real dark place tonight and think you'll never be able to see it again. Let me tell you, there's a God that recovers tonight. Let's look at blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10. Mark 10. I think Jesus can do anything. He's proved to me many situations. Mark 10. I want you to look in verse 46. They came to Jericho. As He went out of Jericho, the disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. Brother Josh, in their song about blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And look what this crowd does. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They said, shh, we don't do that here. I was preaching. I was at a particular place. This doing all I know to do, try to mind the Lord and preach, and got done. It seemed like God moved, a good service. And went the back door, the preacher. You know, that's where they all spread their germs to you and everything. One fella got to me and he said, sir, we don't do that here. I said to myself, I can tell you don't do that here. But they said, shh, don't get carried away now. Don't raise your voice. We don't do that here. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But watch, he cried out the more a great deal. I want to say it might not mean a great deal to you, but it's a great deal to Jesus. He cried out a more great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
And look, this is amazing. Jesus stood still.
Commanded to be called, and they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he casting away his garment rose, and he came to Jesus. See, it's a great application here tonight. Before a person's sight is restored, they must cast things away and realize they have nothing to bring to Jesus. You've got to realize that you have nothing. And you know what? He'll take your nothing tonight. That's why many more people are not saved. They don't get where blind Bartimaeus was at the road of nothing. "I have nothing to offer you, Lord. I've thrown it all away and I'm coming to you by faith." That's the way you're saved. Simply by childlike faith. A lot of people think salvation is so hard. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. We're saved by grace through faith. Grace is what God has done for you with His Son on the cross. The Bible says He's given every man a measure of faith. And it's up to you if you'll access that faith in your heart to Jesus and be saved. Tonight, blind Bartimaeus, he cast it all away. Jesus answered unto him, "What will thou that I should do unto thee?" You know, isn't that amazing? Jesus asked this man a question. Because Jesus knew what he needed. But he said, "I know what you need, but I want to ask you something. I want to know what you want." The blind man said to him, "Lord, that I might just receive my sight." Jesus said to him, "Go thy way. Thy faith." You see this? "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He's still the way, the truth, and the life this evening. And so here we find not only can Jesus relate, not only can Jesus revive, not only does Jesus restore, not only does Jesus recover, but I want to say lastly tonight, did you notice it when I read, I told you this morning, it's not in Isaiah 61, but it's in the book of Isaiah. He said this lastly. He said, "I want you all to know, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised." Thought that was unique. I got to wondering what he meant when he said this. I'll be honest with you, at the first take, I could understand preaching the gospel to the poor. Thank God. I could understand that he come to heal the brokenhearted. My heart's been broken. I could understand he come to preach deliverance to the captives. I've had sin that held me a long time. But it don't hold me no more. It bothers me, but it don't hold me no more. Recovering sight to the blind. I understand that. Brother Josh, I'm seeing things I've never seen spiritually. Thank God he opened our eyes. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But the day God saved you, He took the blinders off you, and now you saw the light. Isn't that an amazing thing about being saved? But He says this, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I want to say tonight, not only does Jesus restore and Jesus recovers, but Jesus is our refuge. This means mind-boggling situations, bruised. It means a turmoil has hit your life and my life. And God says, I want you to know before it ever starts, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, when you look this up, it simply means that in your mind that you can't get your mind around. That things has entered your mind and you're just looking and you're wondering what you're going to do with yourself. What you're going to do now at this job. What you're going to do in this situation. What you're going to do with this friend. What you're going to do with this experience. I told you this morning, I believe this verse has impacted the ministry God has put me in such a way because I've seen Jesus at a new light yesterday. All we've got to do is just keep preaching and keep believing. Jesus can do anything. You can get people's opinion. They'll send you to places, to AAA. They'll get you to read Dr. Field's book. Well, they some even listened to Oprah Winfrey. But Jesus said, I want you to know something. I've got everything you'll ever need being a Christian. Now, I want to read this and I'm done. I want you to turn with me and I want you to look. I've not seen this passage in a long time. Jeremiah 17. Set at liberty them that are bruised. In other words, he says, that lets me know that he's concerned that I'm bruised. Mentally. Things have so, one of the writers said, this means being fatigued in your mind. You ever been fatigued in your mind? Jesus said he's come to set at liberty the bruised. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. If you have a pen, I really encourage you to underline this and do some home study and watch. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You may have no hope tonight, but let me tell you something. If you've got the Lord, you've got hope. Amen. Young people, when everybody else has walked off from you, you remember what this Bible says. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when he comes. But her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful. And it's deceitful above all things. I want to say something. You may have in your mind that you want to do something, but you better be glad it's not in your heart. You see, what's in my mind won't let me get across the finish line. When it gets hard, I'll quit. But if it's in my heart, I'll get across that finish line. Brother Randy is teaching that tonight. He said it right. Brother Randy, I used it preaching last week. But you know, I'd rather face any boy that's built up, got ego full in his head, but you give me a little old brawny boy with grit, he'll whoop you every time. You see, we better have something a lot deeper than in our mind. Well, how do I make my mind up? You make it up in your heart. And this Bible says our heart, look what it says. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I'm going to say something. There's been amazing things that's reared up out of my heart. Didn't know what they was in there. I know none of y'all had no problem with that because you're just not redneck as I am. But I've had issues with my heart, even with other people. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Look what it says. I, the Lord, search the heart. That's what we better get in our praying. God, search my heart. And if there's anything in my heart, take care of it for me. He said, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I want to say something here, young people, on the flip side of this verse. It does pay to serve God. Absolutely pays to serve God. You might not live in the finest house in the community. You might not have the finer things of life, but if you'll serve God, you'll have something money cannot buy. As the partridge sitteth on eggs, and hatcheth them not, so he that giveth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living waters. Now, look in chapter 16, verse 19. I'm done. Jeremiah 16, 19. Lord's amazing. This is what it says. O Lord, my strength and my fortress. And here's my thought verse. And my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come to thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity in things wherein there is no profit. You see, he said he's come to set at liberty those that are bruised. Well, simply in Jeremiah 16 and 19, he said, Lord, you're my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. Aren't you glad Christ is a place that you can run into? You can get shelter from the storm, shelter from life. I'm so glad God is a refuge. Where would y'all be tonight without the God of refuge? Where would I be tonight without the God of refuge? God is a refuge. Brother Josh, this week's to be preaching for a man, called and canceled the meeting. Brother Mark, this is why he canceled the meeting. One of his choice members fell off a roof this week and died. Another man in the same church, same flock, tragically killed. Preacher has nothing he can say in them times. Except one thing, point them to the God that is a refuge. Do you have Him as that refuge? Miss Emily, would you come play for me tonight? And amazing, the Lord told us in Luke's gospel there tonight what His ministry was about. So I want to ask y'all something. Does that sound like the highfalutin, uncaring crowd of people to you? It sounds like He come for me. Come for you. And if Jesus came with those things in His heart, with His orders from heaven, what to do, a light ought to come on to us. We're going to have trouble. There's going to be times we're going to be down and out. But I'm glad Jesus, you listen to me tonight, I'm glad Jesus is everything we'll ever need in this life or the life to come.
Jesus is everything that we need.
If you don't know Him tonight as your Savior, you can, because He loves you. He died in your place. And if that ever dawns on you that you're really a sinner, and He come to save you, it'll change your life. And all around this building tonight, I wonder if there's a need any place this evening that you need Him for a refuge. As a strong tower, would you come tonight? Maybe you're bruised. You're loaded with thinking. He come to give you liberty. Maybe you're in sin's bondage. He come to set you free. Would you come tonight? Any around the house you want to come, you come. Pray this evening. Miss Amy.